You know, you can be seated. I think everybody needs a full-size Bible like this, 5 pounds of the Word of God, you know, in addition to your cell phone, you know, something to put on the bed stand and on the table, put it out there, wave it in the face of the devil, tell him to get out of here, get out of your house, wave that Bible around. I like to anoint things with oil, whatever you have to do to walk in authority. Come on, somebody. Thank you, worship team. You're singing Come to the Altar. Our theme this winter is fire on the altar. The fire of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist, he said, there's one coming after me. He said he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with
fire.
We need fire. We need fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, there was a rushing mighty wind and there was
fire.
Moses wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, knew he had the call of God on his life, but wasn't sure how, when, where. All of a sudden, one day, he saw
fire,
a burning bush. But it wasn't being consumed. There's a miracle for you. God likes to use miracles to open up our eyes, get our attention. The Bible says when he went to investigate it further. You know, that's why I say about coming to the altar. You can sit back there and say, you know what? I think God's moving. I think this might be my day. I think there might be something here for me. But until you move on it. I say, just move away from the spot you're at and do something when you move on. The Bible says when Moses turned and looked and investigated a little further, then God spoke out of the bush.
Moses.
Big old Charlton Heston voice, you know. I just believe that faith. Last week I was talking about let faith arise. Faith requires action. Three elements of faith. I'm not teaching on that today, but faith sees. You have to get a vision for it. Sometimes in a worship service, you know, it causes our spiritual eyes to be open. Faith sees, but then faith speaks. You got to say something. The gospel must be preached. You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and then faith acts. You got to do something. If you're sick or you're infirmed, and you're looking for a healing, at some point, you have to try to stand up. At some point, you got to try to move. That's action. When Jesus looked at that cripple on the pool of Bethesda and said, get up, it didn't make any sense. Rise up and walk. I can't. Don't say that. Exercise faith and act on what you believe. Well, that's not my word for today, but as we're at the first of this year, I'm really asking each one of us to just fine-tune our lives a little bit. Do something a little bit differently in order to move your faith on behalf of God. Well, welcome. Welcome to church. Those of you at home in your living room, if you're in your pajamas still, God bless you. If you have a cup of coffee there, bring me one, would you? Just bring me one. Appreciate that. You know, I've been saying, you know, I don't believe we're going to return to church as usual. If you're interested in returning to church as usual, you might ought to find another church. Because we do some things here that are not often accepted in some other churches. You know, if you see people down here dancing, some churches don't allow that. But I read my Bible, and I see it in there, dancing before the Lord. God had it first, and the devil perverted it. Then we got people waving flags. Well, the Bible talks about that too. Raising our hands, speaking in tongues. Wait a minute. We don't want to mess up a perfectly quiet, good little service with speaking in tongues. But it's in the Bible. And one of these days in this season, I want to talk to you about the gifts of the Spirit. and why they're so important for us. Listen, the Bible says desire spiritual gifts. And like I say in this church, you don't have to speak in tongues, but you get to. You're allowed to. And the more you discover what it's about, the more you'll want to. And God gives you that desire, and that connects you to what He's doing. So this week, I went out on the streets with Brother Bruce Tipton. I've spent many years going out on the streets witnessing. Got many stories of what God has done. But in the first week of this year, in my fasting and praying, God said, "You are going back to the streets." God told me this is going to be a year of evangelism. And I'm sowing into that word from the Lord. God's been just showing me again that Jesus is coming soon. It's time to get your house in order. Jesus coming soon. The fire is going to heat up this environment a little bit. Get ready for the fire. The fire burns up impurities. It makes us pure as gold. Hallelujah. If you think you're already hard steel, well, the fire tempers steel. It makes you stronger. You know, so fire is good for all of us. And I want to say the fields are ripe for harvest. Now, I want to talk to you about something today. And wow, I'm going to have to slam dunk you here with this word because I got a lot. I'm going to put it up on the screen. So give me my screen so I can move faster here today, if you would, guys. In John 4:4, we see Jesus with the woman at the well. This story starts with these words. It says, "Now he had to go through Samaria." And if you read the story, and that's not my text today, you can see this was a divine appointment. The disciples were going to get food. And Jesus said, "I'm going to just wait here." But he met this woman at the well. Now, the Bible says this was in a town called Sychar. And the actual name of this town means falsehood or drunkenness. This was not a pleasant place. This was not a place that would be advised for Jesus to be hanging out at a well. That's where women showed up to draw water. But God had an appointment for Jesus at this well. And I want to tell you something. God has an appointment for you too in your life. If you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you have to understand God is directing your life. He's got divine appointments He's placing before you, giving you spiritual eyes to recognize it. And even if it's in a society that's full of fire, full of dangers, God will be with you. Hallelujah. And it's in that environment that God is most likely going to release the gifts of the Spirit, like in this case, the word of knowledge that he gave to this woman at the well. And Jesus just operated in obedience to the Spirit, and we want to be that kind of a believer. When the woman was religious, she knew about religion, but she didn't know about living water. We have so many people like that in our world. They know about religion, and most of them have dismissed organized religion, institutional religion, institutional government, and everything else institutional. You know what? They're looking for the real thing. If you've got it, then please show it. If you've got it, let the glory of the Lord arise from within you, because the Bible says people will be attracted to that. But here's what I wanted to get to and get on with what God's brought for me to share with you today. When the disciples came back with food, they said, "Jesus," by the way, this woman got touched by the power of God, went back, and her testimony alone won half of the village. Don't you like God's economy, the way God works? The way God works, His numbers. We just do one-on-one. We've been doing a lot of one-on-one evangelism in this church. Out on the streets, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world." He said, "I will build my church, thank you, but go ye into all the world." And every one of us have a realm of influence. But when the disciples came back and said, "Jesus, Aren't you hungry? Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who has sent me and to finish his work. You know, Jesus, even when he was 12 years old, remember the story where him and his family were in Jerusalem for the feast, and there was such a big group that when they left, they were gone 3 days, or maybe they were looking for Jesus 3 days. His parents couldn't find him. Jesus was 12 years old. They finally found him in the temple, sitting with the teachers of the law and the doctors, you know, and speaking and learning. But here's what he said: "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Let me tell you something, church. What God's doing in this hour, he wants to awaken us to be about our Father's business. That's why we're seeing a lot of the fire that's going on in our world. Now, I want to talk to you about living on assignment for God. Being aware of your surroundings and aware of what opportunities God might be given. I want to give you a modern day example from Canada. Anybody know the Dutch Bros coffee drive-through shop? Any Canadians here today? This is Vancouver, Canada. This is just such a good example, modern day, where a couple boys that worked in this shop, this is the picture right here, this drive-through coffee shop, they were on the job but living on assignment for God, and it made the news. Listen to this news. Here we go.
A picture taken at a Vancouver coffee stand is going viral as it shows workers comforting and praying with a woman who just lost her husband. Fox 12's Jamie Wilson joins us live from Vancouver after speaking with the young men who were in that photo. Jamie?
That's right. Someone took the picture yesterday at this Dutch Bros on 138th Avenue in Vancouver. And just like they are now, they were very busy at the time. The baristas were trying to get everyone served fast. But the moment that they noticed that a woman in line was very distraught, they stopped everything to take care of her.
Strawberry Raspberry Rebel.
Medium iced vanilla mocha?
Yeah.
When Pierce Dunn and Evan Freeman got hired at Dutch Bros, they learned how to make coffee, mochas, smoothies, and a half-decaf, no-whip caramelizer with soy milk.
Vanilla mocha!
But they were also taught to connect with customers. And yesterday, that connection turned into some much-needed comfort. Their coworker noticed that a woman pulling up to the window was in tears.
And she was like, no, she's just having a really bad day. Her husband passed. And as soon as she said that, I was like, there's nothing more you need to say. We got this. We're going to do what we do every time we get someone who's in pain or hurt. We're going to give them our love.
The guys offered her a free drink, and then it just kind of happened. They all grabbed her hand, bowed their heads, and together they said a prayer.
So basically, I just said, like, you know, I really want her to, you know, have peace over the situation, you know, like help the mourning of her and her family.
They had no idea, but a customer in the next car back snapped this picture. She posted it on Facebook, and along with thousands of likes, it even surprised owner Jessica Chudik.
I just said, oh, that's great. You know, I love that our company does that and that, you know, we can show love out the window that way. And then I started studying a little more and I said, wait, that's Evan and Pierce. That's my stand. Those are my kids. So I was just, brought me to tears right then.
When I saw the picture, for me, it was just like, oh, this is a normal day at work. Like, we're doing what we do every day.
Evan and Pierce say yes. The woman was so grateful to them for taking her hand and taking the time. They had no intention of this moment going viral, but say maybe it will inspire someone else.
If every single person was just did like an act of kindness or just had a smile on their face every single day, like the world would be a completely different place.
And back live out here now, Evan and Pierce tell me that the woman who was crying here yesterday, she has been through here several times before and they recognized her. And tonight they just hope she comes back for more coffee and hugs if she needs them. Live in Vancouver, Jamie Wilson,
Hallelujah.
Fox 12, Oregon.
Jamie, thank you for that story.
I got to tell you what these guys said, you know, Evan and Pierce. He said, this is us being normal. We need to get that into our heads. You know, we're not coming to church, you know, to play religious games. We're coming to learn to be normal, the new normal. spiritual, living for God, not just on Sunday morning, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, recognizing the opportunities that God's putting in our path, the new normal. And I like that. They said, this is who we are. It's nothing new. We're not trying to get attention for it. This is just us being normal. And then they said, if every single person would look out for others with a smile on your face, the world would be a different place. And isn't that what Jesus said? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the good news. And preach the good news. So praise the Lord. Whether it's at Dutch Bros or in your home, at work, at school, in the hospital. You know, God might send you to the hospital so that you can be a blessing to those in the hospital. I'm thinking of Bill Cook, your testimony. You were in the hospital, very serious operation, but you took the opportunity to minister to others, and you were a blessing. I mean, that's what they remembered about that patient. He's praying for everybody else and not worrying about his own needs. So I'm talking about living on assignment. We have an assignment from God. I want you to turn to this scripture in Ephesians 2:10. Make sure it's underlined in your Bible, because I want to back up just a couple verses to a more familiar verse. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not in of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, a lot of Christians, they get stuck here. They say, well, my faith is all about just what God's done for me. It's not about works. Wrong. Your salvation is a gift from God. But after God gives you that gift, then works are everything. It's about being about the Father's business. If you come to Christ and then your works are bad, what kind of testimony is that? God can't use that. God's not going to multiply evil. But if your works are good, then the testimony of God in your life is going to touch so many others. So look at the verse I have on the screen then. It's verse 10. It says, For we are his workmanship. God is working in us and through us, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I've got a little different translation up there. He's prepared us in advance to do these good works. You have gifts, abilities, talents, but to do good. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't think I can be a testimony because I don't know the scripture that Pastor Phil knows. I'm not a public speaker. I don't know what I'd say if I approach somebody. If you approach somebody that God put in your path and you open your mouth, you'll be surprised at what God will do through you. And it's so fun. And we were out on the street Monday night, you know. I mean, it's just so fun, you know, because we don't go out there trying to accomplish anything. Thank you, Pastor Carl and Vicki, for having Hunger's End, feeding the hungry. And we can go out there and work the fringes, you know. And, you know, we got in the middle of people's business, and it was just divine appointments, you know, divine protection. It was miracles, salvations, healings. I mean, right before your eyes. Man, you go home really happy. My wife always says, when I come home off the streets, I'm the happiest she ever sees me. So sometimes when I get discouraged or bummed out, I just got to go hit the streets. Go find somebody to minister to. I'm talking to somebody there. We even, a few Spanish were telling this Wednesday night, I think we were talking about how we had a few Spanish men come by, and they told us they were only in town for 2 days, and God happened to bring them right past us. They weren't coming to get food. They were just passing by. You know, they had good jobs. And we started talking to them, and Brother Bruce doesn't know any Spanish, and my Spanish is Spanglish. It's just a few words here. And we're trying to minister to them, and, Brother Bruce remembered he had a script, a salvation script in Spanish among his stuff in his pocket. So while I'm speaking Spanglish to them, trying to talk about your having Jesus in su corazón, you know, my English accent, you know, and trying to witness. He breaks out this script. I get my phone, put a light on it, and we just say, read it. Read it. Lead yourself to Jesus tonight, you know. And they did, and they got excited. They got happy. They got smiles on their face. Three people came to Christ by reading the script. It's that easy. Because we're living in a day of fire. And people are looking for that fourth man. That fourth man. Remember last week. So these things are just good works. We're called to do good works. This is a job description of what Jesus was doing. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Aren't you glad you're anointed too? With the Holy Spirit and with power. We have power. And what did he do with that? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's our same job description. What a great job description. Just doing good for people. Telling them there's good news. You've been watching the bad news. I know everybody's down about bad news. How about some good news? You know, there's a God that's working in the world today, not only to give you eternal salvation, but power for healing, deliverance. Hallelujah. I love that. Now, I'm going to get back on this some other time, but I want you to turn to the book of Acts and Acts 16, and I want to remind you of a familiar story. We talked about the three Hebrew boys out of Daniel 3 last week. Let me give you just a quick review of this story with a focus on the fact that Paul and Silas were living on assignment. Paul and Silas were living on assignment. It seems like this story starts in verse 16. It says, once it came to pass as we went to prayer. I want to give you six scriptural keys for living on assignment out of this story. Number one, live a lifestyle of prayer. You know, prayer doesn't mean you got to get on your knees. It doesn't mean you have to be in here. But prayer is talking to God and listening to God. And if you see anything that might look like a burning bush, you better talk to God. Because God's putting something in your path that can change your life. I mean, it can change someone else's life. But whenever God uses us to touch somebody else, it changes our life as well. So this story, it seems like it starts here, but you almost have to back up, because if you back up to verse 9, you see that the reason that Paul and Silas were here in Macedonia and Philippi is because during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. How many of you would like to have a vision where God shows you exactly who you're going to talk to this week and lead to Jesus? So be it. Lord, you saw those hands. So be it in the name of Jesus. You know, our youth sometime, where are you, Pastor Sue? Oh, she's probably in the children's department. But they periodically go on what they call treasure hunts. They go witnessing. They gather first in the youth department and they pray and ask God to show them who they're going to meet when they go out to wherever they're going that they're going to pray for. And then they start talking among them. What did God say? Well, God showed me somebody in a red scarf. Okay, we'll check that box. You know, so God showed me this, God showed me that. Then they go out on a treasure hunt. Is that possible? Man, don't limit God. But Father, I ask you to give us spiritual insight. Lord, we're not trying to do this in our own strength. But Father, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Awaken them in us. So Paul had this vision. And, you know, what Paul didn't know is that man in Macedonia was a prison guard. He was in charge of a prison. And the only way Paul was going to be able to witness to him is if he went to prison. Oh, no. Lord, I didn't sign up for this. I tell you what, the fire's turned up in our nation. we might have to suffer a little bit. There might be some persecution. I know Americans are not excited about that. That doesn't preach well. But I've got to prepare you for a little suffering, always remembering that God has in mind to deliver you and to multiply the blessings back to you for being faithful in his service. Read it with me, Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he'll not be cast down. Proverbs says, a righteous man falls seven times, but gets back up again. God is into deliverance. He's not in for you to be down for the count. He's in for you to go down and get back up again for the glory of God. So don't worry about it. Live a lifestyle of prayer. Here it says that they were praying back at verse 16, and they met a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. This was not a spiritual unto God person. This was somebody getting words of information from familiar spirits, which is an abomination to God. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Well, she was seeing it right. I mean, the enemy knew that they were the real deal, but she was doing this day after day and hurting their credibility. As she kept this up for many days, finally Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged him in the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought him before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city in an uproar. These men are Pentecostals. They're charismatics, those independent churches out there. They lift their hands. They speak in tongues. They have altar calls. You know, they're throwing our city in uproar. They're advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." For us Americans. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. You know, I tell you what, if that jailer knew that these guys were men of God and that he was hungry to see a miracle, he probably discounted them right away because he knew they were dead and gone. They were goners. He had been commanded to guard them. But here's another scriptural key. Recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. You know, you start witnessing to somebody, it won't take you long to know we're in a spiritual battle. I got called one time to do last rites in a Catholic family, and I didn't even know what last rites were. I've told you this probably before, but somebody that watches me on television, they didn't go to church very often, so they thought to call this priest, you know, to go do last rites. I came to their home. And the whole family was in this room, was in a hospital bed, and they were all mourning. I told them all to leave the room, and because I didn't want them to know I didn't know how to do last rites, you know. But all I knew to do was to pray for healing. But as I was praying, God allowed me to see angels for the first time at the foot of the bed. And I couldn't look directly at them, but in my peripheral, I saw angels just standing there. And honestly, because he was in a comatose, and they said, you know, he was as much as dead and gone, I thought the angels had come to take him home, honestly. And so my prayer started going, "My Lord, not my will, but your will be done." You know, just, you know, thank God, you know, he's right with you and all that. I said my goodbyes and I went home, and it was about an hour drive. I wasn't home very long, and I get a phone call back from these people. They say, "Father, what did you do? He's up. and he's hungry. He wants to eat. What should we do? I said, feed him. I said, whoops, I prayed for his healing, you know. But, you know, it reminded me that when we pray, if our spiritual eyes could be opened, God is with us. And God, who's able to raise the dead, you know, and send those angels on assignment, we have to recognize the spiritual battle. The devil knows who you are when you pray. He will try to withstand you. But in the name of Jesus, let's say that together. In the name of Jesus. Man, I tell you, when you say that, I found that works on the street. You know, when once in a while, you know, someone gets in my face, and I don't get angry. I don't yell at people. Don't want to stir people up. But I just say, in the name of Jesus, you know, God is with us, and he's not going to allow you to harm me. God is with us. He's not going to allow that to happen. But I just want to say it. I want to declare, in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, look out. There's big angels around here. Somebody needs to hear this today. Hallelujah. Another thing, accept persecution. They were stripped and beaten. They were severely flogged. You know, I've heard my dad say, you know, if somebody were to knock you down, you know, God's going to see you through it. You know, by the grace of God, that's never happened to me, but it could happen this week, but God's going to see me through it. So don't worry about anything. Just pray about everything. And the God of peace is going to see you through it. Dad said, if that happens in the work of the Lord, it'll taste good. He says, like an ice cream cone on a hot, sunny day. I've sat under his preaching a whole lot. You know, God had to get them to prison. That's how it happened. God had to get me to pray for a man that had a heart attack on a commercial airline one time. And it was just a lot of reasons why, you know, I didn't want to be there and shouldn't have been there. And they had to divert this plane and land it, and they were asking for a doctor. And you couldn't believe all those people, maybe 300 people on that plane, there's no medical doctors there? And I felt God nudging me and said, you're a doctor. I'm saying, yeah, but God, that's a doctor of divinity, you know. They're talking about a medical doctor. He said, are they? So my hand had to go up. And you know what? They were pleased that there was a doctor in the house, in the plane, to pray for somebody who was having a heart attack. Hallelujah. But I'm tired to tell you how that whole story was so messed up. I was so not ready to pray for somebody. I was so upset. I'd paid extra for a window seat, and it was the only window seat in the plane that didn't have a window. What is this? Paid extra for this. I mean, I fly coach, but I like the window. And I paid for a seat with nobody in the middle, you know. And instead, two large people came and filled that aisle. And I'm like this, without a window. Now being interrupted by the plan of God. Gotta pray for somebody. And just like Jonah, God used me anyway. Anyway, I'm trying to help you understand. Read this with me. Matthew, the words of Jesus, Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 4 says, think it not strange when you have fiery trials. You know, God's got a plan, you know. Okay, let me give you another thought. I'm going to close here. keep praying and singing. What happened? About midnight, I'm at verse 25. We're in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword, was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his family were baptized by John Buckles. Our modern day John the Baptist, J-O-N. They baptized him right on the spot. Hallelujah. And it says that the jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Hallelujah. You know what? Praying and singing. The world's watching our testimony, hallelujah, but so is God. How about this? You know, it should be exciting enough that the world is watching when we are witnessing. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for somebody in a store, and when I say amen and walk away, there's somebody running after me to tap me. Can you pray for me too? The world's watching. They're looking for the opportunity. But look at this, 2 Chronicles 16:9. Read it with me. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. You know, perfect towards him is just being committed to serve God. Praise the Lord. One of our elders here, Brother Marvin White. God bless you. Marvin White. At 95 years young. Hallelujah.
I had a testimony that the Lord wouldn't let me alone without sharing it.
How many golfers do we have in here? Raise your hand. Okay. The Holy Spirit speaks to me. You can vouch for the fact that over the last few years, he's given me messages that have borne out to be right on.
Amen.
Well, this time, he gave me a message to tell my golfing partner on Monday. We have a league on Monday, a men's league. And he said, tell him that you're going to make a score of 45 on the front nine and 33 on the back nine. So I told my partner that for sure that's the score that I got. No, you golfers know that has to be a miracle.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So, you know, I have been told I got to live up to this. A lady told me this past week that I'm a legend around here. You know, how many of you would like to have to live up to being a legend? I need prayer for that. Okay. Another thing is, you know, we got a $1,200 check in our checking account not too long ago. How many of you did that? How many of you got that in your checking account?
Before.
Yeah. Okay.
The stimulus check.
Nancy and I are really well enough that we don't really need that. So I'm going to dedicate that. I'm going to send the check to Christian Retreat for that $1,200.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Hallelujah. All right.
Good idea.
Now, another thing to back up what Pastor Phil was just talking about, household salvation. I retired from teaching at Palmetto High School in 1992, June the 13th. I was, really celebrating 41 years of teaching. Well, that night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a wake-up call from a daughter of mine that was living in Minnesota at the time. The family had called her and told her that her sister, my daughter Jennifer, had had a bad accident and was on life support, and they were getting ready to withdraw the life support. Well, I knew I had to get back to sleep because I was going to be heading to Indiana the next day. Well, the Holy Spirit woke me and whispered. I heard every word. He said, "Jennifer is with me." That's household
Hallelujah.
Salvation, okay?
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Marvin. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me close this out and give you the other points that I think are scriptural keys here. Expect a miracle. Say that with me. Expect a miracle. Look for the suddenlies. I like this. Suddenly, at once, all the prison doors, everybody's chain came loose, Always remember this, whatever you're praying for, it's not just about you. It's give us this day, our Father. God's always interested in doing something for you that's going to somehow bless others, touch your family, the people you work with. Read it with me, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. God's purpose for your life is an assignment. Somebody that God has assigned you maybe to bring salvation. And I love this because we have the same assignment that Jesus had. He says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And I just believe that we're going to have an opportunity this year like never before to reach our community for Christ. This afternoon, I'm meeting with some of the leaders in our fellowship that I believe are called evangelists, and we're just going to talk about the ways that we can reach out in our community and do something at a greater level this year. I just want to remind you of the 6 points here that I brought, because I want you to see yourself doing this. I don't believe that anybody should be left out in this. This is a work of God with the body of Christ. And everybody's got a realm of influence. God's got an assignment upon your life, and you'll be happiest when you recognize it and you do it. Hallelujah. This story finishes out, Brother Jesse, that talking about Apostle Paul's attitude. Jesse's from New Jersey. He's got that attitude. New York, New Jersey. And he's talking about the people in New York, they even walk with a certain attitude. He was showing us that the other day. The Apostle Paul, when the magistrates found out that he was a Roman citizen, they were really scared that they had mistreated him. And they wanted him to leave quietly. But you see, the Apostle Paul said to the officers, "Hey, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we're Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." That's attitude. And I think I'm just bringing that to your attention because I want us to rise up with not arrogance, but with authority and knowing that God is with you. He's going to bring to pass what he promised. Hallelujah. How many of you want to live for God with your life on assignment? Just keep your hands up right now. I'm not going to take the time, I think, to have an altar call here. We already had one, but lift your hands. You're at an altar right now. Father, as these have lifted their hands, I pray, Father, just put your hands in our hand. Put your spirit in our hearts. Awaken our eyes to see the opportunities, Lord. We want to live on assignment to do your work. And I pray, Lord, that you will bring about many, many miracles in this day, Lord, to light the darkness, to illumine the eyes of those whose eyes have been closed by the spirit of this world. But Father, let the Spirit of God rise up and we see many miracles, many salvations, many healings and deliverances. Father, from these living on assignment, I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's thank the Lord today for his word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray that God gives you faith and boldness to speak, divine appointments, divine introductions, supernatural opportunities. Lord, you just make a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Today, when we